worshiping Him, even on this this rainy day. It's still good to be here. So thank you guys for coming this morning, and we are going to continue our series called Each One, Reach One this morning. If you were here last week, I noticed this morning many of you are still wearing your bowler or your bracelet. If you were not here last week and you did not receive one, I think we have some extra ones you can ask. But how many of you guys remember what was the topic last week? What was the point of wearing this this bracelet or this bowler? Do you remember? The point was, this is to remind us that everyone is eternal. Everyone is eternal. And we talked last week about the fact that every one of us and everyone that you know will live somewhere forever. Everyone that you know is made with an eternal soul. And when a person dies, they do not stop to exist. They do not cease to be. Everyone will exist somewhere forever. And the Bible says that's either in heaven or in hell. So we were reminded last week that everyone is eternal. Today I want to continue that thought, continue our topic, and we're going to talk about what is our responsibility as believers. If you're here today and you are a Christian, you're a believer, what is your job? When we think about, when we look at our reminder and we think, okay, everyone is eternal, well, what can I do about that? What should I do? What should be my action? What will I do even today or tomorrow? What can I do when I think about that everyone is eternal? And our topic this morning is that every believer is a witness. Every believer is to be a witness. What does it mean to be a witness? What is a witness? Maybe you've seen on TV or you've seen a movie. If you watch like a crime show or a drama or maybe a mystery, a movie, and many times there is an accident or maybe there is a murder or there is something like that. And most of the time in that show, there is a witness. There is someone that saw this crime committed. They were there in the place, or maybe they just happened to be walking by the dark alley or the dark street, but they witnessed this event. A witness is someone who sees something, or you observe something, and you can talk about it, or you can testify about it. So whenever there is a trial, or there is a court case, they will call the witnesses. And they have, if you've ever seen a court or maybe just on TV, but they have, you know, the judge sits here and then there's a little box here, okay? And there's it's wood, it's usually very nice in the front, and the person goes up and they sit down, and we call that the witness stand. The witness stand. And the witness sits there, and it is the witness's job to answer the questions about what he has seen. It's not his job to create something. It's not his job to make up a story. In fact, that's a very serious crime if the witness is going to lie during the court. No, the witness's job is to tell the truth. In fact, all a witness does is tell what they have seen. You tell what you have seen. I saw an accident on the road last week. It was a motorcycle and a car, and there was an accident, and the car was very damaged, and the motorcycle was laying down on the ground. But I think everyone was okay. Everyone was standing around, and then there were some other people standing here. And I thought to myself, I think those are the witnesses. They were probably walking by, or they were there, and they saw this happen. So they're waiting on the police or whatever to arrive so they can give their testimony. They can describe what happened. Now, a witness, if you are a witness to something, you have two options. If you witness something happen, there are two options that you have. You can be silent about what you have seen. You can be quiet. Or The other option is you can be vocal, or you can tell what has happened. You have two options. No one can force a witness to talk. No one can force that witness to give his or her testimony. You have two options. You can be silent or you can be vocal. A silent witness is someone who has seen something, but they don't want to say anything. They don't want to comment. They don't want to be involved. They don't want to take part in the case. They are what we call a silent witness. They will not be a part. Well, this morning we're going to see that there are no silent witnesses in the Bible when we're talking about witnessing about Jesus Christ, when we're talking about telling the gospel. There are no silent believers in the Bible. If someone in the Bible has trusted in Jesus Christ, if they have made a decision to follow Jesus, they are vocal. They will talk about it. They will tell their friends. They will be involved. They are not a silent witness. There are no silent witnesses that we can see in the Bible. And that's what God wants us to be. God wants us to be a vocal witness for Him. God does not want you to be a silent witness. If you're here and you are a believer in Jesus Christ, then you are a witness to the change in your life. You are a witness that God has changed your life, that God has changed your heart. You have experienced that. Just like a witness experiences something, you have experienced this change in your life. But God does not want you to be a silent witness. He does not want you to be quiet about what you have experienced in your life and in your heart. He wants us to be vocal. He wants us to tell people about what has happened. And as we're going to see in the Bible, every believer is a witness, or should be a witness. Now, many believers today, many Christians today, are silent about their faith. They are silent about their witness. Many believers today commit a sin. It's what we call the sin of silence. Because God has commanded us to tell. Jesus, it's right there on that board. Jesus said, go and make disciples of all nations. That's from the Bible, and Jesus said that. Jesus said, go, teach people about me, tell people about me, go and witness about me, go tell everyone. He's given us a command. He's given us a job. But many believers commit the sin of ignoring that command. We don't obey that command. We are silent. As we go throughout our day, every day, we are not talking to anyone about Jesus. We are not inviting anyone to church. We are not telling anyone about our faith. All of us here have committed the sin of silence, including me, okay? There have been times where I know I should talk to this person, or I should invite this person to church, but maybe I'm afraid, or maybe I don't want to do that, and so I'm silent. Well, God does not want us to be silent. So I want to look at some examples this morning in the Bible, and I want to give us some encouragement and some ideas of how can we be a witness, how can we be a vocal witness for God. The first thing I want to look at is some inspiration for witnessing. Inspiration for witnessing. In your notes, I want to tell you or read to you two stories or two examples from the Bible. The first one is a very famous story in the Bible. It's called The Woman at the Well. And it's from John chapter 4. Okay? So let's read a few verses and then we'll talk about this situation. John chapter 4 and verse number 7. It says, a woman of Samaria, that's a place, came to draw water. She was getting water out of the ground. And Jesus said to her, give me a drink. His disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. Then the woman of Samaria said to him, how is it that you, being a Jew, ask a drink from me, a Samaritan woman? for Jews have no dealings with Samaritans. Okay, stop right there and listen. During this time period, the Jewish people and the people from Samaria, that region, the Samaritans, were basically enemies. Okay, they did not like each other. It was a racial conflict. They were different races, and they did not like each other. But of course, Jesus is not like that. Jesus loves everyone. And so Jesus was at this water well down in the ground, and this woman comes, and Jesus has nothing to get the water with. He has no bucket, no pail, nothing. And this woman is drawing water, probably for her family. And Jesus says, "Can I have a drink? Please give me a drink." And this Samaritan woman is shocked, because Jewish people do not talk to her. This was very strange for this woman. So she asked him, "Why are you talking to me? Don't you know I'm a Samaritan? Don't you know I'm from over here? I'm from Samaria? Don't you know that you're Jewish? Why are you talking to me?" And this is what Jesus says to her in verse 10. Jesus answered and said to her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." And then the woman said to him, "Sir, you have nothing to draw water with, and the well is deep. What are you talking about? How can you draw water? Where do you get that living water?" she said to Jesus. "Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well?" If you know the Bible story, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Jacob is the one who actually had this well dug, put this well there. He gave us the well. He drank from it himself, as well as his sons and his livestock. But even Jacob had to use a bucket. So this woman is saying, "Jesus, I don't know what you're talking about. You have no bucket, you have no cup, and you're telling me that you will give me water. That doesn't make any sense." If you read later in a few verses down in the passage, in verse 25, the woman said to him, "I know that the Messiah is coming, who is called the Christ. And when he comes, he will tell us all things." So this woman, even though she was a Samaritan, she knew that the Savior was coming. Now just imagine, this woman knows that there is a Savior from God who is coming, but she does not know that she is talking to the Savior at the well. She doesn't realize who Jesus is. She doesn't know who Jesus is. And so something very funny happens, and we're not going to read all of the verses just because of time, but in John chapter 4, Jesus begins to tell her about her life. Jesus begins to describe for her how many husbands she has had in the past. He tells her, "Well, the man that you're living with now is not your husband." Wow, the woman is shocked. Is Jesus a fortune teller? Is he, what is he? I don't know, but he's telling me all of these things. And the woman begins to realize, and Jesus tells her, Jesus says to her, "I am the Savior. I am the Messiah that you're looking for." And the woman realizes that I am sitting here and I am talking to the Savior. I am talking to the Messiah. I am talking to the Son of God. And she realizes that it's Jesus. And what does she do? What does she do when she realizes that it's Jesus Christ that she's been talking to? She does something very interesting, very powerful. And she does something that speaks to us this morning. If you go to verse 39, I think it should be the last one there. Verse 39, after the woman realizes who Jesus is, she runs into her city. She runs back to her place, and she begins telling everyone that she knows that she has seen the Savior. She begins to stop everyone in the street. I've just seen Jesus. I've seen the Savior. He's here. The Messiah is here. And she begins to tell the entire town, the entire city, the entire people. Okay? Go to the last verse, verse 39. It says, "And many of the Samaritans of that city believed in him, in Jesus, because of the word of the woman who testified or who witnessed that he told me everything I ever did." This woman goes into the city after she has met Jesus, and she begins telling people, "I have just met the Savior. I have just met Jesus, and he is the Messiah, because he is telling me everything about me. He knows everything about me, and just listening to him, I know that he is the Son of God, and I believe that he is the Son of God." And she begins to testify. She begins to witness. She is a vocal witness to her city about what has happened. Now, she had two options. She had an option to be vocal, to tell everyone, or she had the option to be silent. She could have talked to Jesus at the well and been amazed and decided to believe in Jesus and to follow him, and then take her water in her bucket and go back home and be silent. Be quiet. Not tell anyone. She would have been excited in her heart. She would have been happy. She has eternal life. She has met the Savior. But she doesn't really tell anyone else. She doesn't really tell her family. She doesn't really tell any of her friends the next day. She's just silent. Do you see the difference? She had two options. But she was so excited that she ran and she told everyone. And the Bible says that many of the people in that city, we don't know how many. The Bible does not give a number for how many, but it says many of them. I think it was probably hundreds. That as the gospel spread and Jesus was there, people began to believe in him. This woman's life was changed. And so she went around telling everyone that she could tell that she had met Jesus and what he had done. There's a powerful example there for me and for you. If you're here this morning, Jesus has changed your life. If you're a believer, he has given you eternal life. He is your Savior. And he has given you a better life here on earth, as we serve him, as we follow him, as we have a relationship with him. And we have an option. Will we tell people about this? Or do we keep it to ourselves? Do we just be silent? This woman at the well is our example. She is our inspiration that we should go and tell people. We should be excited about telling people. She knew that she had met the Savior. And she could not be silent. She could not be silent. We need to be like the woman at the well. We need to decide that we will not be quiet about what we know. We need to decide that we will not be silent about Jesus Christ. That knowing him is too important. It's too important. Because everyone is eternal. Everyone is eternal. And we cannot be silent. We cannot be quiet to our friends, to our family, to our classmates, our co-workers. We must tell them. We must be like the woman at the well. She's an inspiration for us. There's another inspiration in the Bible, and it's from actually from the book of Luke. And this is a story or an example from the disciple named Matthew, or the Bible also calls him Levi. I like this story because my son's name is Levi, so I wanted to tell you this one. But his name is Levi, or Matthew. And Matthew, the disciple of Jesus, was a tax collector. That was his job. He was a tax collector. Now, during the Bible times, a tax collector was basically the same as a tax collector today. They were not very popular with the people. Okay? The tax collector during this time was the one, he would come to your house, knock on your door, you open your door, and he says, okay, you owe this many pesos to the emperor, to the king. You need to pay it today. Would you like when he comes to your house? Is that a good thing when he comes to visit you? No. Probably you're hiding, you're locking the door, you're closing the curtains, you're hoping he goes away. Tax collectors were not very popular with the people. People did not like to see them coming around. Many of the tax collectors were also very dishonest. For example, they would tell you, okay, you owe 500 pesos. And you give him 500 pesos, he gives you your receipt, your tax receipt. But really, you only owe 400. And he takes 100 for himself, for his merienda that day. That's what they did. They were very dishonest. So the tax collectors were not popular, they were not liked. But the tax collector named Levi decided to follow Jesus. And he became a follower of Christ, a follower of Jesus. And he was not silent about the fact that he was following Jesus. He was not going to be quiet. He was not going to be silent. And Levi decided that he wanted to witness to his friends. So what he did, he invited them over to his house, and he had a dinner for them. And we have the story or the account in Luke chapter number 5. Luke chapter 5 and verse number 29. Okay? Then Levi gave him, Jesus, a great feast in his own house. A big dinner, okay? A big blowout, as we would say in the Philippines. Everything, all the food you can imagine, it was like a buffet. A buffet. Everything is there. And there were a great number of tax collectors and others who sat down with them. Levi was a tax collector. No one else really liked him, but all of the other tax collectors were his friends, okay? They had like a little club, probably. They were all friends. So all of these tax collectors came to this dinner, and Jesus was there. He invited Jesus to come. And the scribes and the Pharisees, these were the religious leaders, these were the Jewish leaders in the temple, the scribes and the Pharisees, they complained against his disciples. They complained to Levi and Peter and John, the other disciples, and they said, why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners? You know that these tax collectors are evil. You know that they are dishonest. You know that they are not living correctly. And you invite them all over to your house for dinner. How can you do this? And what does Jesus say? Jesus answered their question. And Jesus said, those who are well have no need of a physician, no need of a doctor, but those who are sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. What did Jesus say? The reason that I'm here and I'm having dinner with all of these sinners, all of these bad people, is because they need a Savior. That's the reason I'm here. Let me tell you that, religious leaders, leaders of the temple. If everyone is righteous here, they don't need me here. If they already have a Savior, they don't need me. The people that need me are the ones who are sinners. The people that need me are the ones who are on their way to hell. They need to trust in me. They need to follow me. They need to have their sins forgiven. Jesus said, that is why I'm here. Levi made a decision to follow Jesus. And he wanted all of his friends to know Jesus also. Levi saw the change in his own heart. He saw the difference that Jesus made in his life. Jesus asked Levi to follow him, and he believed in Jesus, and he followed him, and Jesus changed his life. And many of you here this morning, Jesus has changed your life. God has changed your heart. He's changed your life. He's changed your families. He's changed your the way that you see the world. And he's given you eternal life. And it was the same for Levi. And he said, I will not be silent. I will not be quiet. I want my friends to know. I know my friends are evil. I know they're sinners. They're tax collectors, just like I was. I know that they need a savior. And so do you know what he did? He had a big party for them. He invited them to his house. And he invited Jesus to come. Because he knew that Jesus would talk to them. And Jesus would share the good news with them. He wanted his friends to know. Now, Levi had a good opportunity or a good advantage because Jesus was physically there with him. So he could invite Jesus to dinner. We don't have that option. Jesus is not here physically with us walking on earth today. But you know what? You can still invite your friends to your house. You can still have a dinner with them. You can still share your testimony, your witness to them. Let me tell you what happened to me. Let me tell you why I go to church every Saturday, every Sunday. That's what Levi did for his friends. Because probably they were asking him. They were asking Levi, Levi, you have really changed. You're not the same person that we know. In fact, you're not even taking any money for yourself from the taxes. We've seen you. You're being honest with your taxes. Why? Why are you doing that? And oh, by the way, you are spending a lot of time with this Jesus person. Why are you doing that? Now listen, I know many of you, many of your stories. I'm sure many of your friends, maybe your family, they're asking you, why are you going to that Baptist church on Sunday? What's the reason why you're going to that church on Saturday? What's the point in that? You've changed. Why are you doing this? And you have an opportunity to be a witness. You have an opportunity to be vocal to them and say to them, I go because God has changed my life. I go because Jesus has given me a new life and he has saved me. That's what Levi did for his friends. He invited them to a small group. He invited them to a dinner. And he shared the good news with them. And I could tell you other stories. I could tell you many other stories, many other examples in the Bible. But the point is, in the Bible, we see stories over and over again of people who will not be silent. And by their very lives, how they live their lives, they are witnesses to Jesus Christ. They are telling people about Jesus. You know, if you love someone, you will talk about them. If you love someone, you will mention them to other people. I know that when I preach, I use my boys as examples a lot. I talk about Reese and Levi. I'm sure I'll talk about Nicole. I use them a lot as examples. Why? Because I love them. I love to talk about them. I love to use examples about them. And if we love someone, we will talk about them. So the question is, how much do we love Jesus? How much do we love him to talk about him? Are we willing to share with our friends, our family? Or are we ashamed? Are we ashamed to be a vocal witness? Are we just silent? That's a question. There's a example in the Bible. The example is that we are to be a vocal witness. We are not to be silent. There are no silent Christians as examples for us in the Bible. In fact, in the book of Acts, chapter 5, it talks about this. Acts chapter 5 and verse number 42 says, "And daily in the temple and in every house, they did not cease," or they did not stop, "teaching and preaching Jesus as the Christ." Daily, they did not stop. They would not stop telling people about Jesus. Daily means every day. Every single day, they were telling people about Jesus Christ. Not only on Sunday, not only on Saturday during Kids Jam. Every day. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. They were talking about Jesus to people. They were telling people what Jesus had done in their life. They were living their life for God. Every day, they did not stop. If you do something every day, it becomes what we call a habit. A habit. All of us have habits. We have good habits. We have bad habits. Okay? Maybe some of you have the habit of sleeping too late and being late for school sometimes. That's a bad habit. You like to sleep. Maybe you have the good habit of brushing your teeth every morning. I hope so. I hope you have that habit. Some of you look a little bit afraid or ashamed. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, okay, if you have the habit of brushing your teeth. Don't worry. But we have habits, okay? We all have habits that we do. Why are they habits? Because we do them every day. Another word for a habit is it's automatic. You don't have to think about it. It's automatic. We just do it. Well, in the Bible, they had a lifestyle of witnessing. They had a habit of witnessing. It was just a part of their life. And God wants us to have that habit of telling people about Him. And they could not be quiet about Jesus. They did not have to think, "Oh, today, okay, let me get out my checklist and, okay, number one, brush my teeth. Number two, put on my clothes. Number three, go to school. Number four, tell someone about Jesus." No. All of those things are what? Automatic. They should be. No, it was a part of their life. It was the same as they put clothes on in the morning. Of course we will do that. And of course, I will tell someone about Jesus if they need to hear. Of course, I will invite someone to church. Of course, I will bring them to church on Sunday morning. It's automatic. It's part of my life. It's not a religious thing. It's not something I just do for the church. It's a part of my life. It's a part of who I am. Every believer is a witness. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you witness to what He has done in your life. You tell people what He has done in your life. I love this next verse. It's also from the book of Acts. It's talking about the early church. Acts chapter 4 and verse number 20. It's talking about the believers, and it says, "For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard." We cannot stop speaking about what we have seen and heard about Jesus Christ. What Jesus had done in their life was so amazing, it was so wonderful, that they had to tell everyone. Imagine if you're walking home today, okay? Maybe you're walking home alone, you're by yourself, and you see out of the sky, you see a giant UFO, okay? An alien ship. And there's lights and everything and smoke and it's making sounds and it comes down and you can see everything. Maybe you can even see the aliens inside, I don't know, okay? And you see this and then just like that, it's gone. But you know you saw that. What are you going to do? What will you do? Huh? Are you going to tell someone? Yes. Every one of you here would go tell someone. You will not just say, oh, that was cool. Okay, I'm going to go home now. No. You're probably going to run to the market or run somewhere and say, did you see what I just saw? Did anyone see that? Did anyone experience that? If you are that excited about a UFO, can we be excited about Jesus and the fact that we have eternal life? That's the point. They said, we cannot be quiet. We cannot stop speaking about what God has done for us. It's so amazing. It's so incredible. It is so wonderful. It is such a big change in my life that I have to tell you. I have to tell you. I cannot be quiet. I cannot be silent. That's the example that we have in the Bible. God wants this to be a part of our life. He wants it to be a part of who we are. Don't look at witnessing or inviting someone to church. Don't view that as, well, this is my religious job and I have to do this because Pastor Mark said I have to do this and to be a good Christian, I need to do this. No, it's not something on a checklist. God wants us to be so thankful to Him. God wants you to be so thankful to Him for what He has done that you cannot be quiet. You cannot stop telling people about what He has done. Another example is when someone has a new baby. Someone has a new baby in the house. And the family and everyone is so excited. And the mom and dad and the Lola, the Lolo, what do you do? You tell everyone, you tell all of your friends, I have a new son or daughter, I have a new granddaughter. You tell everyone because it's so wonderful. It's so amazing. You cannot be quiet. Even if you try, you cannot be quiet. You have to tell someone. That's what knowing Jesus should do for us. We have to talk about it. We have to share with other people about Jesus. There are opportunities all around you to talk to people. There are chances for you to witness, to talk to someone about Jesus every day, all around us. I had a chance a few years ago, probably 1.5 years ago, I think. I was in Pasig, and I was at our other church there. Some of you have been there, Community Baptist Church in Pasig. And I was there, and I needed to go home. And at that time, I had no car. I had no transportation, and so I had to commute. And so I was trying to find an FX that I could ride back to our place, and everything was full. There was nothing available. And so finally, I'm tired of waiting, so I decided to ride a taxi. So I'm trying to find a taxi. So finally, I find a taxi. The taxi pulls up, and I get inside. And I tell him where I need to go to my place. And the taxi driver begins to talk to me. And he's talking a lot. The Tagalog word is madaldal. Is that right? This guy was very much madaldal. Okay? He's talking a lot. Now, I was tired. I had a long day. I was just ready to just ride and go home. But he's talking to me. He wants to know where I'm from, what is my name, what am I doing. So I began to talk to him. And I said, well, what's your name? And he said, my name is Joe. I said, okay, Joe, it's nice to meet you. Okay? And so he said, what do you do? And I said, well, I'm a pastor, and I work here at this church, and I do things here. in this ministry, at this church. Oh, what kind of things do you do? Tell me about your job. What do you do? I said, well, I preach at the church sometimes. I said, we have a Bible college. I said, we have a camp that we take young people to. We take youth to a youth camp during the summer. And he stopped. And I thought he was going to wreck the car because he turned around. He's looking at me. Where is your youth camp? I said, well, it's in Iba, Zambales. I know that camp. I know that place. Wow, really? Yeah. My two daughters who are in high school, they just went to that camp. They just came back. And they told me it was amazing. And they told me that they heard about God at the camp. And they told me that now they know God. It's amazing. They loved your camp. I said, wow, Joe, that's amazing that your daughters have been to our camp. So by that time, we are almost to my house, almost to my place. And I felt that God was working in Joe's heart. He was interested in spiritual things, in the Bible. And I also knew that I had no car, and I needed to go somewhere the next day. So I said, Joe, will you give me your cell phone number? And I will text you tomorrow. And if you're in the area, you can come to my place and you can pick me up in your taxi and take me to my appointment. He said, okay. So long story short, okay, I'll make a long story very short. Joe, the taxi driver, began to pick me up at my house maybe once or twice a week for probably 2 or 3 weeks. He would come to my house, he would pick me up, we would talk a lot because he likes to talk, and we just got to know each other, and he would take me to my place. And one of the last times that he drove me, I began to share the gospel with Joe. I asked him what he believed about heaven and hell, what he believed about Jesus, and then I said, well, can I show you in the Bible what the Bible says? And he stopped the car, and he said, okay. So I showed him in the Bible what the Bible said. And Joe was probably 50 years old, and Joe began to cry. And he began to weep and cry, and he said, oh, I need to be saved. He said, I want to trust in Jesus. And so we prayed right there in the car, and Joe trusted in Christ. And he said, oh, thank you very much. He said, I feel like a burden is gone from me. I feel like a burden is lifted off of me. Now, that was an opportunity that God gave me to share the gospel with a taxi driver. I did not know who this taxi driver was. I did not know his name. I did not know anything about him. And God, I believe God connected us so that Joe could hear the gospel, and that Joe could trust in Christ. I don't say that so that I look like a great Christian, okay? That's not the point. I'm not telling you that story. That's just my example. The point is, we all have opportunities to share the gospel. We all have people around us, even if you don't know their name. God may give you an opportunity to be a vocal witness to them, to share with them. 1 Peter 3:15 in the Bible, it says, always be ready to give a defense. Always be ready to give a defense. What is a defense? It means an answer. Always be ready to give an answer to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you. What is the hope that is in you? Is the hope of eternal life. The hope that you know Jesus Christ, that you are saved. The hope that you will go to heaven. And the Bible says, always be ready to explain that to someone. always be prepared to tell someone about Jesus. Always be prepared, be ready to tell someone about eternal life. So the last thing in your notes that I want us to think about is, what opportunities can you have to witness? What opportunities do you have to be a vocal witness for God? And there's an easy way to remember this, okay? Take out your, if you have your notes, it's there in your notes. Under opportunities for witness, it says your friend. Friend, F-R-A-N, okay? Or Fran, if you want to say it like that. It helps you remember, F-R-A-N. We all have four categories or four types of people in our life. The first one is friends. How many of you will be honest and say that I have a friend who needs to trust in Christ? I have a friend who needs to hear the gospel. Here's what I want you to do. Take out a pen, take out a pencil, whatever you have. I want you to think for just a minute. I want you to write a name right there. Don't worry, class. This is not graded. This is not an exam, okay? This is to help you think. No one is going to see this but you. But you put the name of a friend there. I'm going to put the name of a friend here that I know needs to visit the church, or I know they need to hear the gospel, or I know they are not a believer. Put the name of your friend right there. Just one. If you only have one, it's okay. If you have more than one, that's good. The next one is our relatives, your family, those that are related to you. I'm sure every one of you has a relative. You have a family member that you know needs to believe in Jesus. You know that they need to come to church with you. Maybe it's your mom or dad. Maybe it's your brother, your sister. Maybe it's someone else. You put the name of your relative there, and I'm going to do the same thing. The next one is letter A, associates. Associate is someone who's not really your friend, but you see them in your day, okay? An example would be maybe if you go to the same market stall every week or whatever, you see the same person every week. They're not really your friend, but they're an associate. You associate with them. You see them during the week. So think about someone that you see during your week. Maybe it's someone on your street or someone that you see as you're shopping or whatever. They're an associate. Think about that. I'm going to write a name down here. The last one is neighbors, or N. Neighbors. These are people that live in your place. They live near you. And they need to hear the gospel. They need to be invited to church. They need to know the Lord. I'm going to write down a neighbor. Now, if you did that, you have at least four names here. Four names of people in your life that you know they need to trust in Christ, or you know they need to visit the church with you. You know that they need God in their life. Here's what I want you to do this week, okay? I want you to take this list. I want you to remember this list. I want you to pray for these people. I even want you to invite them to church. Next week in church, we are going to share the gospel. We are going to present the gospel very clear. And anyone who is here in the service will be challenged to trust in Jesus. So if you have a friend or a family member or a neighbor or an associate, you invite them to church next week. You bring them here to church. They will hear the gospel. Or you have the option to share with them yourself. Be vocal this week. Talk to them about your faith. Share with them about Jesus. But you have a list here of people. Everyone has different names. There's probably 30 of us here today. If we all have a different name, that's 120 people. 120 people that need to hear about Jesus, that need to visit this church. Now let me ask you this. You don't have to answer out loud, but let me ask you this. Has God changed your life? Has Jesus changed your life? Do you love this church? If those two things are true, how can we not share that with our family? How can we not share that with our friends? God has changed your life, and He has given you this church to be a part of. Will you invite them to come? Will you share your faith with them? There are no silent witnesses in the Bible. 1 Peter 3:15, again, it says, always be ready to give a defense, to give an answer to everyone. In the Bible, every believer is a witness. Every believer is someone who tells other people about God. And I don't want our church to be full of people who are silent. I don't want us to be some kind of VIP exclusive club. And we just come here on Saturday, we come here on Sunday, we enjoy fellowship, we have a good time, but we never tell anyone else. We don't invite anyone else. It's our secret, you know, special club, exclusive club. No. We are to go, we are to be witnesses, we are to tell people what God has done in our life. We are to share. So let me encourage you this week. If you're a little bit afraid, maybe you're afraid to share the gospel or to use the Bible. Now many of you have been through our training, Share Jesus Without Fear. And you have the tools to do that. And I challenge you guys to do that. But maybe you're a little bit afraid. Maybe you're scared to do that. You just invite your friend or your family to church next Sunday. You just say to them, I will bring you. You can go with me. I'll bring you there to the church. And you can come to our church service next week. You pray for them and you invite them to come. And next week, I pray that we will have many guests. We will have many visitors. And some of them will be the names that you've put here. Some of them will be the names of your friends, your family, your associates, your neighbors, and they will come with you. And you know what? Next week during the service, God may change their life if they're here. If they come next week, God could change their life. God could change their heart. So do your part this week. Be a vocal witness. Invite them to come. Share your testimony, what God has done in your life. I had a few other things to say, but I'm going to stop right there because I think that's a good challenge for our church. Now, I'm trying to decide your reaction right now. You all look a little bit, it's either tired or afraid. I don't know. Maybe both. Maybe you realize the challenge that you have. Jesus never said that following Him would be easy. Jesus never said that following him would not be any work or anything to do. We have a job to do. God wants you to tell your friends. Listen to me. This is the last thing that I will say. God wants you to invite your friends this week. God wants you to share your church and to share your faith with your friends and your family this week. I know that. And if you do that, God will be so happy with you. God will be so happy with us in what we do. God loves us. He loves us anyway, but He wants us to share. He wants us to be a witness for Him. I'm going to ask everyone, if you would, just to close your eyes and bow your heads. This is kind of a simple topic this morning. Just a very simple idea. Last week was also very simple. The last 2 weeks, our topic has been that everyone is eternal. And today, every believer is a witness. When you combine those two things, you think about those two things, that everyone is eternal and every believer should be a witness, you realize that it's your job to tell people about Jesus. Your friends, your relatives, your associates, your neighbors, those names that are on your paper, they are eternal. That person, their name is eternal. That person will live somewhere forever. You think about that. Those four names that you put there on your paper, that person has an eternal soul. And every believer is called to be a witness. And so, maybe God is challenging you this morning that you need to be the witness to that person. It is possible that there is no other person in their life who will tell them. It is possible that there is no other believer that your friend has contact with who would invite them to church or who would tell them about their faith in Jesus. That person will live somewhere forever. And it may be that God wants you to be the one to invite them, to witness to them. So I challenge those of you who are members of our church, who come every week, this week, let's make a difference. This week, look for an opportunity to be a witness. Look for an opportunity to invite your friends and see what God will do in their life. Watch and see what God can do with you. Just sharing, just inviting someone. God can use you to change that person's life. Many of you here were invited to come for the first time. You were invited to come to camp, or you were invited to come to an event, or you were invited to come to church, and you met God. And the same thing can happen for your friends, for your family. So I challenge you, MBF church members, to do this week. Now maybe you're here today and maybe you're not a believer. Maybe you're not a believer in Jesus Christ. And you're not sure. The Bible says that there are two places. There are two places that when a person dies, they will go. You either go to heaven or you go to hell. And the Bible says that there is only one way for us to go to heaven. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father but through me. Jesus is the only way to heaven. And if you're here today and Jesus is not your Savior, you can trust Him today as your Savior. Jesus wants to save you. The Bible says that the gift of God is eternal life. God wants to give you a gift this morning. He wants to give you a gift of eternal life. And we have counselors who can talk to you, who can share with you what the Bible says. We have counselors who are trained to share with you how you can have eternal life. So let me ask you this. Is there anyone here this morning and you would be brave enough and you would raise your hand and you would say, Pastor Mark, I need a counselor to talk to me. I want to know what the Bible says about having eternal life. Is there anyone here? I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to ask you to speak or call your name. A counselor will come to you and we will talk to you about what the Bible says. Is there anyone here and you say, Pastor Mark, I would like a counselor to talk to me about eternal life and about Jesus? You just raise your hand. I'll see your hand. Is there anyone here? Pastor Mark, I need someone to pray with me. I need someone to talk to me this morning about eternal life. Anyone here? Don't wait. Don't be ashamed. Don't be afraid. Father God, I come to you now, and Lord, we love you, and we love your word, the Bible. And this morning, God, we are all challenged to think about that, yes, salvation is a free gift, and we don't have to earn it. We don't have to do anything. We just accept your free gift. But God, to follow you means that we obey you. We want to serve you. And God, you've challenged us. You've told us that we need to be a vocal witness. That we are not to be silent, God. We have found you. God, you have found us. We know you. And we need to tell the people in our life about you. God, we need to make sure that our friends and our family understand the gospel. We need to be a witness in our life. So God, I pray this morning for all of the names that were written down this morning. All of those names represent someone that needs to know you. All of those names represent someone that needs you as their Savior. So God, I pray for those people. I ask you, God, to speak to those people, even today, even this week. God, you tell us in the Bible that you draw people to yourself and that you can speak to their heart. I pray that you will help them to see their need. And God, I pray for all of us here this morning that we would be challenged to remember every one of those people is eternal. And that we have a job to share our faith. God, we have a job to just simply invite them to church and ask them to visit with us so that they can find you. They can know you as their Savior. God, I pray that all of us this week will remember to do this. That we will remember to share and to be a witness to those people around us. Lord, we love you. We thank you for the chance to be here. We thank you for the chance to follow you, to serve you, and to be used by you. God, I just bring these things to you, and I pray that you will do these things this week, and that this week lives will be changed because of our faithfulness and following you. Lord, I pray these things in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. Well, I challenge you this week. Take this paper. Don't forget about this. Put it up in your room or put it in your place where you can see it. And just invite your friends this week. Invite them to visit your church. And God may do something incredible in their life. Okay? Pastor Ronel, I think we have some announcements. So come ahead. Thank you for coming. And I will see you guys next week. Okay. Pastor Ronel.
Okay, guys. Meron po akong